Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy. I host the show. Today, I have a couple people on. They're going to be great guests, and it's Ariel and Shaya, and so I'd like to welcome you to the show. Hi, you two. How are you? Hello? I think some... Hey, everyone, we're back. We reconnected with Ariel and Shaya. So I'd like to welcome you both to the show. And so what I would like to do is have both of you talk a little bit about yourselves first. And then when you get done talking a little bit about yourself, then I will go in and ask you guys some questions, okay?
Sounds great.
Excellent.
So whichever one of you would like to start first, just go right ahead.
Well, I'm Ariel, and Shai and I have been together for...
26 years.
In fact, we just had our 24th wedding anniversary a week ago or so.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And we've been working together, leading workshops, writing books, for the last 21 years, I guess.
And just, it's obvious already, but our style of communication tends to dovetail. We tend to
finish each other's sentences. we read each other's minds. We're like you, Nancy. We are psychic in that we absolutely know what each other's thinking all the time.
So, which is really quite lovely because then there's no need for any secrets. Of course, there's no need for any secrets in our style of living anyway, but it makes it very easy to relate to each other and relate to the world because you're not spending a lot of extra time trying to hide this or that or the other thing.
And about 20-plus years ago, there was an event that took place in our lives where we literally stopped working on ourselves or working on each other. We realized that we were perfect exactly the way we were in that we couldn't change. Apparently, we couldn't change the moment. Mm-hmm. We couldn't change the way life was showing up in each moment. And so we started to relax in the current of life rather than be like salmon swimming upstream to die.
Now, obviously, at least to us, we've always had a passion for self-discovery and this grand adventure called life and seeing what else is possible and our full potential. So it's not that we lost that passion for discovering excellence and what's possible. It's that we stopped second-guessing ourselves and picking on ourselves in order to get that to happen.
But more than that, we stopped trying to live out a program that was initiated by the culture and started looking and seeing what was truly important for us in expressing ourselves into our lives, not in opposition to anything.
See, and I, you know, the way you two work together is really great. Most people out there, I shouldn't say most, a lot of couples out there really have not got a clue on who they are with. And whether it's because of lack of communication or they're so busy with everything, one of the biggest things that have kept you guys together for 24 years, if you had to narrow that down, what would you say that was?
Honesty, kindness, compassion.
Open, honest communication.
And actually, it starts with taking care of yourself, and then your partner's sure to follow.
Well, being kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people, if they ever really listen to the conversations in their heads and how harsh it can be when something doesn't go the way we want, we put an immense pressure on ourselves, and we don't treat ourselves kindly. And so what we discovered was that we could treat ourselves kindly.
Mm-hmm. People, I think, today have a very hard time actually treating themselves really well. One of the things when I'm doing readings for people, I tell them, you know, you have to really like yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to make time for yourself because if you're not going to do that, who's really going to do that for you?
Mm.
And most people look at me like I'm from outer space, okay? And I can understand why they would do that, because most people do not have mostly the ideas of, you know, being open and honest with each other, spending time with each other, being compassionate, because they're already like too totally rushed and, you know, they're mostly out of sorts, you know, 24/7. So you guys have got a book, is that correct?
We have three books, but the current one that is coming out this week from McGraw-Hill is Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, The Three Simple Ideas That Will Instantaneously Transform Your Life.
Okay, now when you say instantaneously, because I know everybody's going, yeah, well, what's this all about? how quick is instantaneous?
Instantaneously is very quick. It's so quick you can't even see it happen. It happens so quick. You see, here's the thing. Life shows up in each moment, and the moment's here and gone. And then there's the next moment and the next moment. Most of us are so lost in either the past or the future, then we're not really in the moment. And what we've discovered is that if we can trick people into the current moment of now, and the best way to do that is through listening, because if you listen to hear what's being said rather than to forward some agenda or to see whether you agree or disagree or already know the information, but if you actually listen to hear what's being said, it's pulling you into the moment, and that's where transformation takes place, and it happens in an instant, and it happens outside of your will. So you can't will yourself to transform. But if you get into the moment, your life transforms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little
confusing. The instantaneous part is really neat, Nancy, because what happens is when you, and I'm sure you see it in people's eyes when you're reading them in person
mm-hmm.
where the moment they get here, when you access this moment, there's this shift that happens. It happens in that instant. It's not like change where you make a goal, 5 days from now, I'm going to be better than I am today. It's in that instant. And then in those next days, you discover how that instantaneous shift has already impacted your life as you go out. And the people who have always annoyed you, suddenly you don't say to yourself, don't annoy me, don't annoy me. They just don't. And you realize it in retrospect, and that's transformation.
And that's pretty important, too.
It is.
There's, you know, there's a lot of dating sites out there on the Internet. And, I mean, they go from A to Z, okay?
Right.
And I read a lot of people who, of course, are on the dating sites. And one of their biggest thing is, you know, am I ever going to find the right person? Am I ever going to do this? Am I ever going to do? And, you know, I have to ask them, first of all, ever is a long time, so you got to realize that, so don't put that out there. But I have to ask them, what is it that they're really looking for? And a lot of them can't really tell me what they're looking for. They kind of talk around it. And I'll stop them and I'll go, no, what are you really looking for? I mean, do you have like a list that you're looking for? You know, are you looking at just to date, to be dating, and hope that the right one's going to come along? So in that kind of, let's say, realm of things, if people are out there on these dating sites, is there something that the two of you would think that the people should kind of look at, you know, as they're doing this Internet dating as a way of getting to know people? I mean, is there better ways to do it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The best way to do it
is to have fun.
Most people are so busy going somewhere, they forget.
Most people are looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right.
Even if they're pretending they're not. They really are.
They're not dating. They're mini-marrying. Mm-hmm. So they put all their hopes in the next one being it, rather than just going out and having a good time with somebody.
You know, in our second book, How to Create a Magical Relationship, we have this chapter called Fun is Not a Four-Letter Word.
Mm-hmm.
Because lots of times people, they simply forget that if they have fun that and they discover themselves having fun with the person in front of them, they're very likely to have another date.
Well, here's the thing. When Ariel and I met Nancy, I'm 17 years older than she is, and I was this safe date because I wasn't marriage material.
Yeah, he was absolutely outside my idea of marriage. I mean, I said to myself, I looked at him and I said, you know, he's old enough to be my father. I don't have to worry about this marriage thing I'm trying to do. And so I made a pass at him, which he took me up on.
And she was dating four or five other guys at the time. And I said, keep on dating them, you know. But on our first date, I told her she was one for me in this lifetime.
And I said, okay.
I never said that to anyone else before.
And then I felt stupid for having said okay. I thought, what kind of airhead is that?
But I was right.
And so was I.
You know, and that's, I think that the part, you know, that both of you are very right about is that the mini marriage info type stuff, if they really could just have fun, you know, don't put any preconceived ideas to it, just have a good idea, you know, and just have fun, don't you think that that would work better for everybody?
I think it would work much better, but I think a lot of people have unexamined standards, morals, mores,
agendas that dictate who they can go out with, or if this, see, a lot of our early conditioning sets us up for, because we're social creatures, you know, mm-hmm. and we live in a culture that programs us to the culture that we are born into, and so we develop ideas about the right type of person for us, whether or not they're the right type of person.
Well, and in addition to that, I think a lot of people have a big challenge with dating more than one person. Now, mind you, I'm not suggesting that if it's your moral compass that you only get physically intimate after marriage or you get physically intimate down the line, or I'm not talking about that. Or that you are physically intimate
at
with
all.
Multiple partners. That's not the question. The question is whether or not you're going to judge yourself if you're dating, actually going through the process of dating more than one person. Can I tell you how many people have gone up on websites, they get very interested in somebody who's writing them lovely emails, or...
And then they meet them in person and it doesn't work.
But meanwhile, they've let all of the other possibles go. So there's no momentum over there, and then all they are is discouraged.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I tell people that are on these dating sites that come and see me. They say, "Oh, this person sounds so great," and I sit there while I'm doing the cards, looking at them, going, "Yeah, I mean, on the net, you can basically say anything you want, and it's going to sound really good." And I said, "And when they're sending you these wonderful emails, it's really going to sound good because, you know, let's face it, everybody's got to sound like they're really great. And then when you meet them, it may be totally different. So, you know, when you're doing this internet dating thing, be really, really careful with how much you're willing to believe and how much you're willing to give them information for until you guys really find a way to talk about things first or like face-to-face meetings." And again, they kind of look at me and they go, "Oh, but he just sounds so nice," or "she just sounds so great." It's like, well, again, you can make sounds any way you want, but you got to just really, you know, get yourself face-to-face and see if you're going to be compatible. See if it's going to work. See if the talking is going to be there. See if the fun is going to be there.
Well, I have to say I'm really not only happy for myself that I found Shia, but I'm really happy for Shia that he found me before the dating site era. Because he would have been a dismal failure. Being so dyslexic, his typing is maybe...
8 words a minute if they're all very short words.
So for him to write things in emails would have been dreadful. So I think sometimes the people who come across not so hot on email sites and websites...
might be gems, you know, just they haven't been sculpted yet.
Mm-hmm. People also have a really hard time with, you know, like setting their goals and kind of sticking to their goals. And one of them that everybody seems to want to now, right now, get with is their enlightenment goal. And is there a way for the people to approach this differently? Because I know, I, coming from experience, know that it does take some work, but it doesn't have to be hard work. So what's your guys' take on that?
You know, it's really interesting, Nancy. Ariel and I, when we got together, we met in a seminar. I was leading that seminar. Then we took every seminar we could find. We finally ended up living in a meditation center in northern Italy for the better part of 2 years. We took courses that were 1 month long, you know, 7 days a week for a month. And the pinnacle of it was a 6 month long, 7 day a week, 24 hour a day workshop seminar
on enlightenment.
On enlightenment. And at the end of it, we were not enlightened. And that's the beginning of the end of our trying to get enlightened. And then enlightenment came along and kicked us in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
See, what happened was we realized that we were never going to get better. And then we realized that we were a perfect us exactly the way we were. And it wasn't about getting somewhere. It was about being where we were. And when we finally got into the current moment of now, we were, in fact, enlightened.
And interestingly enough, that doesn't make you complacent. There's a certain excitement or...
It energizes your life.
To express yourself out into life.
Right. You know, at the time, we were reading a book about Bankai, who was a 17th century Japanese Zen monk who was supposed to be so enlightened. And he sat on a hard rock for 20 years and was finally enlightened. And at the end of those 20 years, he realized that the hard rock wasn't what produced the enlightenment, nor was the sitting. It had nothing to do with that. When you're enlightened, you realize that everything you do to get enlightened doesn't get you enlightened. It's all about being where you are in the current moment of your life as an embracing your life in this moment rather than a resisting your life.
A more specific, perhaps, answer to your question, in our approach, there is a difference between change and transformation. And now, of course, as you know, Nancy, in mainstream, change and transformation are used interchangeably. So mm-hmm. how we're using it is this way. Change is linear. It's progressive. It's from this to that. It's goal-oriented.
Incremental.
It includes effort and dichotomies, better,
bad,
worse.
Bad, good, right, wrong, good, bad.
Transformation is an anthropological approach to life where you simply, like a scientist, get interested in what is without judging yourself for what you see. And it is shocking how powerful that is.
Because your life isn't unfolding, and if you're there for it without judging it, old mechanical behaviors just dissolve on their own. You just stop doing things that have been detrimental to your life, not because you decide to stop doing them, but the mere seeing of them is enough for them to end.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people that are listening are going, you guys are making this sound so easy. You know, so maybe give a little answer to why it's so easy.
Because there are three very simple principles, and if you catch a hold of these principles, life becomes amazingly simple. Amazing.
The first one is anything you resist, disagree with, don't like, wish would be different than it is, sticks around. It grows stronger, and it dominates your life.
It's one of those laws of physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if you're pushing against something that you don't like, you just want to get rid of it, the very act of pushing on it keeps it in place. You're touching it.
You're stuck to it. So that's the first idea or principle of instantaneous transformation. The second one is that you can only be exactly as you are in this moment of now.
So we could only be...
On the phone with you.
To you and your listeners, and wherever the listeners are right now when they're hearing this, whether they're listening to it live or an archived version, they can only be seated or standing or driving or whatever it is that they're doing
in this moment of now. Now, the interesting thing about that is a moment before we started this conversation, you could have only been the way you were in that moment. And if you tease this back, it gets very simple. Your life has been an unfolding that has happened exactly as it should have because it brought you to this moment of now. And if you look in the dictionary under perfect, it says, lacking no essential parts, unchangeable, immutable. That idea, the moment is perfect because it lacks nothing, and it's exactly as it is. Well, when we have preferences, human beings have preferences, they wish to have what they want rather than having what they have. And so with this second idea or principle, if you realize that you can only have in this moment what you have in this moment, then life loosens its grip. You relax into your life a little bit. And then there's a third idea or principle.
And that's anything that you simply see. And you don't judge it. You just see it.
And allow it to be exactly as it is.
Completes itself.
In the instant that you see it, it's over.
Would you like a practical version of that? Is that too complex?
A lot of people are going, okay, now they appear to be talking in a circle. So, yeah, I think a little bit of a breakdown would be good.
Perfect. An example of this is from our book, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work. There was a fellow who was wandering down the street in Manhattan and saw, because we do Monday Night Alive, we do Monday Night courses in Manhattan whenever we're in town or in the area. He saw the notice on the door that we were doing an evening group, and he came down to check it out because the description looked interesting to him. And his name is Cecil. And Cecil is a diplomat at the United Nations, and he came that night, and he sat in the back, and he
never said
he
anything.
He didn't say anything. But meanwhile, we were talking with a gentleman about the second principle, that he could only be exactly where he was, that he couldn't be anywhere. He could be standing in that room thinking about being in Hawaii, but in fact, in reality, not in flights of fancy, he could only be
exactly where he was.
And that if he resisted the fact that he wasn't in Hawaii, that would consume his thoughts.
And it would cause him pain because he wasn't where he'd want to be. Well, this fellow Cecil had, for the past 2 years, been in a great deal of pain because when he was at the United Nations, his mother passed away, and he wasn't there with her or for her. And he felt terrible about that. And it was something that every day had conflicted his life.
He wasn't sleeping well. He wasn't doing well inside himself. But something happened where he actually heard that he could only be exactly where he was in that moment. And then you tease that back through time, that there was no way for it to have been different.
It couldn't have been possible for it to be different than it was.
And somehow, in that moment, he stopped judging himself for that which he could not change. And he came the next week and he said, I don't know how it happened.
I don't understand this.
Which is a hallmark of transformation, by the way. But I've suddenly have this huge burden of guilt that's been lifted because there's no way I could change that. I could only do my life the way I've been doing it and did it, and here I am, and I'm profoundly grateful.
Which is real important because, again, I think a lot of people, you know, it sounds very simple, but I think people really make their lives very hard because they do live in guilt. They do try to make sure that they're making everybody else happy first, and they try to, you know, make sure everybody around them is happy, and they're doing it all at their expense.
Mm.
Well, there's a flip to this also. A lot of people live their lives in opposition.
They look at something out there, whether it's a parent or a
organization
or a religious group or a school, and they say, ah, they're the bad guys, or I don't like that.
And so they live their life in opposition to, say, the parent that they resisted most. And then they're not living their life. They're living not their parent's life. So their parent becomes a touchstone to how they go about life. And they miss the opportunity of discovering what's true for them. Because what's happened reflexively is that they've chosen to not be like one parent. And then suddenly they can't choose to have their life be what they want, because if it happens to be similar to what their parents would want, they deny it to themselves. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people's lives are mechanically driven in opposition, and how can one find peace when their life is at war?
So there's ways, though, to actually break those mechanical habits, I would think.
Oh, absolutely, but I don't think of it as breaking.
See, if you see them and don't resist what you see, it's as though you're walking through this big room that's full of furniture, and there are no windows, and somebody turns the lights out. Now it's totally dark, and you trip and fall over these things, these obstacles in your life. This is a metaphor, of course,
mm-hmm.
but if you turn the lights on, you don't have to hit the tables or chairs or couches. You can maneuver yourself through them. But most of us have been blindly going through life trying to reach what we think we want, and as you well know, the achievement of a goal does not produce satisfaction, at least not long-term satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, is also very true. Now, there's another thing. People, in general, mm-hmm. have a very hard time really relating. Okay? And I would think that there are certain techniques or certain thoughts that, because you two have been doing this for so long, that it could turn to like an art of relating, but it could also be learned rather than stumbling over those furniture pieces.
You know, I laugh. We lead a workshop called The Art of Relating.
Well, actually, I think the art of relating starts with the art of listening.
Really?
Because if you really can listen...
To hear another person's point of view, rather than listen to your thoughts about what they're saying, that allows you to be with them in a way that allows for relationship to show up.
I have to circle back to something we talked about earlier, which was being kind to yourself. If you're unkind to yourself, by extension, sooner or later, whoever you hook up with, you're going to treat them first in your thoughts like you treat yourself, and then out loud, people speak in such an unkind way in general to people they're in relationship with. They would never speak to coworkers or bosses or even strangers on the street the way they speak to themselves or others.
Or their husbands or wives or boyfriends or girlfriends.
Now, here's the thing. If you start to notice that you're being unkind to yourself in your thoughts,
and you don't judge yourself, but just notice it,
go, uh-huh.
Look at that.
I just called myself a dummy.
I was going to say
an idiot. I did too. I thought idiot, but I said dummy. It's like enlightenment
anyway,
for dummies. Right.
Right. In any event, if you see something that you do that, see, our judgment system, our standards, Nancy, have been given to us by the culture we grow up in. And so what we consider bad or wrong or stupid, that was taught to us, and we've applied that idea to ourselves. Now, here's the thing. If you can start to see the way you operate without judging it, like an anthropologist studying a culture, in this case, a culture of one, that's all it takes to have these things that have been problematic just dissolve.
There was something that you said, Nancy, on your website. We were looking at it earlier, and you were talking about how everybody's intuitive and that it's something that can be strengthened with practice and with awareness and bringing attention to your hunches and following your hunches and your gut instinct. Well, it's the same with being kind to yourself. With practice, transformation is easy.
Now, here's the other thing. Oh, I lost it. I lost it. Came and went. It'll probably come back. Oh, yes, it just came back. See, most of us have been very well trained in doing things. So people want techniques to become enlightened. They want to do things. They want postures for yoga. They want to sit and meditate. They want to do something that will quiet their mind and enlighten them. But enlightenment happens in a state of being, not doing. And most of us are so busy trying to get to what we think is going to produce that well-being or satisfaction that we're never really right here, right now, in what's happening in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think people want to be some other place instead of right here, right now?
Well, I don't think that they want to. I think that they grew up amongst people who were trying to get somewhere, and so they've just been caught in the current of life as they grew up, where everybody was striving for something better someday.
So you become habituated to it.
Yes, people do follow all of the same patterns that they've been shown throughout their life. That's the other thing I try to get people to understand, that they don't have to stay in those same patterns.
You're absolutely right. They don't, but it's really difficult for most of us because we don't know what else is possible. You know, if we drew a pie, a circle, and drew like a section of a pie, you've got a thin slice that's what you know you know.
So you know 2 plus 2, you know math on up to whatever level of math you know.
You know how that you speak the English language. Then there's another slice of this pie, which is everything you know that you don't know. So you know that you don't know how to speak Swahili, for instance.
Okay.
Okay. Do you fly an airplane?
Do I what? Do I fly an airplane?
Yeah. Do you pilot an airplane?
No.
Good. So you know you don't pilot an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there are things that you know that you don't know or know how to do. There are certain things you don't know that, and you're aware that you don't know them. But that's only a small portion of the pie. The rest of the universe is everything you don't know you don't know. So you can't even imagine the possibility of something outside the known. And that's the difficult thing for most people. The hurdle for most people is to realize that there are possibilities outside what the conversation in their head plays to them each day. See, because people's minds function a lot like computers, and they the difficult thing is we play the same records over and over. It's like the same jukebox plays the same records over and over every day. When transformation happens in a person's life, each day is a new day, new possibilities, new thoughts.
See, and to me, that would be great. People would at least have a reason to look forward to a new day.
Well, I think a lot of the people who speak to you, I'm assuming all the people who speak to you, Nancy, are genuinely looking, and that people are looking through what they know, and most of us have been taught to make resolutions, change, do our best to change something. And what Shai and I are talking about is something that's far easier, far simpler. That's why our website is transformationmadeeasy.com. It is easy. It's about looking and simply seeing how you are in this moment.
Without judging it as good or bad or right or wrong.
Or progress or falling backward. It's about simply seeing
discovering how to be in the current moment of your life without disagreeing with it from an idea of what's going to be better for you. Because, see, most of us have these ideas about what's going to make our life great, what's going to be fulfill us, or, you know, and like you were talking earlier about dating surfaces, most people think that if they find the right person, then their life will be complete. You know, two halves coming together. It's not that way. Usually, you get two people who are insecure. You have two insecure people now. It's greater than the sum of the parts, the insecurities that can show up. So, what's really important is discovering how to be where you are and embrace your life as it is, not as you think it should be or wish it were, because our preferences get in the way.
And the neat thing about it is wherever you are is where you are. So,
and it's where you're supposed to be.
Absolutely. So, for instance, if a person is finding themselves judging themselves, then the trick is to not judge yourself for judging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is this. We mentioned it earlier. Preferential thought. You know, we have ideas about what's better to do. So people want to be enlightened, yet there are dishes in their sinks, because that's a lesser thing to do, to wash the dishes. And Ariel and I have this joke that washing the dishes is a lot like making love.
Okay, you want to explain that one?
Well, if you're really there for it, it's very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lost in your thoughts that you should be doing something else, it's not satisfying.
Now, luckily, your listeners are in the privacy of their own wherever and the privacy of their own thoughts. Now, if they tell the truth, I bet you there are plenty of times people are making love and they're thinking about the next day, about their children, about what they've got to do, about their to-do list.
And if you're not there for anything in your life, then what you're doing ceases to be satisfying. And if you happen to be there for it, it's very satisfying. But our preferences definitely get in the way.
Oh, I think so, too. I think being in the moment is probably one of the most exciting things that people can actually do for themselves. And they really do have to lighten up with themselves so that they can do that, because it's very true. You know, no matter what a person is doing up here today, like it, that they're here physically, but their mind is on the next day or the next day or the week before or even a month ahead. You know, like, I got to do this. I got to get this done.
Uh-huh. You know, I love what you just said about lightening up, because, you know, the middle word in enlightenment is light.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get enlightened by being seriously involved in trying to be enlightened.
No.
You know, the seriousness of it, life shows up exactly as it does, as an unfolding, as a possibility. Now, you can either reject it because it doesn't fit the small parameters of your mind's idea about who you are and what you should be doing with your life, or you can embrace how your life is showing up in each moment.
Mm-hmm. Which is, again, very true. You know, embracing the moment has got to be easier than trying to put everything on a schedule, make everything happen, and then still have some energy left over to have some fun.
Right. But if what you're doing is what you're doing, then you're having fun as you're doing it. Because, see, what's shocking to me is how much people complain about everything in their lives, and it's like a background chant that
mm-hmm.
they don't even realize they're having. But if they were to become aware of it, see, that second principle, you can only do what you're doing at, you know, no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So you can only be doing exactly what you're doing in each moment. Well, if that's the case, then you can either be washing the dishes or complaining about having to wash them. You can either be going to work or complaining that you have to go to work. It reaches a point where most people could get a lot more done in their life if they didn't spend all the time they spend complaining about what they have to do, complaining about that. They if they just did what needed to be done, life would get very simple.
It would be very, very simple. The other thing people have, well, before we do that, there's a couple things. I want you guys to give out your website, and I want you to give out all the names of your books and where people can get them.
Okay. Our website is easy to remember.
It's transformationmadeeasy.com.
And you can do it the letters E and Z, or you can spell out the word easy. Transformationmadeeasy.com. That's the easiest way to find us. All of our books are up there and links to them, but the one that is coming out this week, but it's already available on BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com, is Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. We also have How to Create a Magical Relationship, and that's really fun because we have one. And the other is Being Here. And it's all in short story format about simply being here.
It's short stories about transformational moments that have happened in our life, and so they're stories from our points of view.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty exciting to me. Now, there's another question that I have, And it's related mostly to money, because right now everybody is having this really, really hard time with the money relationship.
Right.
Yes.
So
what's the question?
There are ways to help people also transform that, I would think.
Well, the first thing is to recognize that your concerns, speaking about the global your, aren't necessarily yours.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a current, as you were mentioning, in this environment right now where there...
And we are all psychic and we are all in tune to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example. Shai and I were on vacation last week, and we were at a fairly remote place, and we weren't doing anything, and all of a sudden he's awake. It's the middle of the night, and he's worried, and he's worried about his stocks going down, and they won't be able to put his kids through college.
Now, I don't have kids of college age. They're grown and have their children of their own, but those were my thoughts.
And he's not worried about stocks going down. It's just what... Well, we got onto our emails, and we've gotten an email from a person we're particularly connected with who did take a big hit in the stock market and is concerned about putting his kids through college. So one of the things is that the intensity of the conversation that's going on in people's internal thoughts right now is connected into what's happening globally. So the more that you actually engage in your environment, what's actually happening around you, what happens is that fear conversation lets go of you.
See, no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. That's the second principle. So when you see that, then if you get engaged in whatever you're doing, say washing the dishes, then if you're really doing that, your mind isn't off doing other things.
And then what happens is you have potential, infinite potential to make money, but if you're present, you're much more likely to exercise that. You'll make that phone call at the right time to catch the person in.
Psychically. You'll be connected. The other thing is this. Frequently, people have ideas that have been handed to them, in the enculturation process. Did I say we were anthropologists? I have a degree in anthropology, actually. So our whole reality around money has been given to us. How many times have you heard the expression, money doesn't grow on trees?
Mm-hmm. Many.
And it isn't easy to make money. Well, what if it is easy, and what if it doesn't necessarily grow on trees, but is available everywhere if... Your reality includes that making money isn't that difficult.
Once we were speaking to some people, we were invited to go work in Australia at a center that was there in the outback.
Outside of Perth.
And while we were there, the people who were running the center said, would you mind speaking to a woman who, she does the embroidery for our towels. She's a lovely lady, but she's going through a lot of hardship around money right now.
And at that time, Australia, or at least Western Australia, was in a recession or was a very depressed economy. Money was hard to come by.
So we said, absolutely. And so she came in and sat with us, and we were having breakfast. And we had found some of the most amazing fruit there. And one of the pieces of fruit
were strawberries.
You know the kind that are real?
That smell like strawberries.
And they're big, and they're gorgeous. And
they taste like ambrosia.
They're like, they're juicy.
Yeah,
juicy.
Those kind, right?
Sweet. Real strawberry. And so I said to this lady, I'll say her name is Mary because I don't remember her name, but I said, Mary, have a strawberry.
She goes, no, you don't understand. I'm poor, and I need to find a way out of this. And Shai said, okay, we're here for you. So the first place to start is...
have a strawberry.
And she's like, no, you don't understand. I'm not making enough money. And so we said to her, but first of all, we have a question for you. Do you like strawberries? And she said, yes, they're my favorite of all fruit, but I don't have time for that right now. I want to find out
how to
get out of debt. And the answer was all there. There's.
You see, if you can't get into the current moment, and the strawberry is a good way to get into the current moment. It's tasty. And if you can't get into the current moment, you never get anywhere because you're blindly following a program that has no successful end. Now, here's the thing. We've met most people. When we meet most people who show up at our seminars, they don't come enlightened. They're looking for something, and they're lost in mechanical behaviors that have been within their family or in their genetics for the eons of time. But if coming to one of our seminars is important enough to them, they get a job. They get a second job. They get to work rather than complain, and they eventually discover that they do have the capacity to earn money. Now, we don't charge exorbitant rates for our seminars, but for some people, it's a stretch. But we don't give those people a discount because then we'd be treating them as though they were incapable or they were less, even though they feel incapable and less. See, they may have the thought that they're incapable and less, but it's only a thought.
But no two things can occupy the same mind at the same time. If you're busy believing that you can't, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you notice you have... I'm sorry, I interrupted.
That's what I tell people all the time. If you believe you can't, guess what? You can't.
That's right.
But the deal is, Nancy, they can't help it if that's what they believe. So if all they do is, without judgment...
Notice that that's what they do, that they tell themselves that they can't and they don't judge that. That's enough for that behavior to complete itself, and they have the space to discover that they can.
So if they don't resist that thought or try to change that thought, which is a form of resistance...
Or think positively rather than negatively...
If they just notice every time they say to themselves, I can't do that, or I can't afford that, or I'm not capable, if they notice it without judging it...
That's enough for it to complete itself.
It's so cool.
And it's so not what most people think is the way to get there.
No.
See, it's such a radical idea, really. It's in its simplicity, it is incredibly radical, in that most of us have been taught, as were Ariel and myself, that in order to get somewhere, you got to work hard, and you got to be diligent, and you got to punish yourself if you don't do it right. You chastise yourself, you make New Year's resolutions, you know, and keep going. Well, maybe that's not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the way to do it is to discover how to be where you are in this current moment and just start enjoying this. I'm not suggesting that people should become complacent, because we are anything but complacent.
Mm-hmm. But being in the moment is pretty important.
It's everything. If you're not there, see, when you're in the moment and you go to church or synagogue or whatever your religious affiliation may be, even if you don't have a religious affiliation.
It's going out in nature, if that's
right.
Your affiliation.
Right. If you're there for it, not lost in your thoughts about the future, but actually there for it, it becomes a spiritual experience. Otherwise, it's a...
Ritual.
It's
dogma.
Ritual. It's ritual and dogma, exactly. And not fulfilling.
I would think not fulfilling at all.
Well, the same with the relationship. I mean, we've been together over 26 years, but it's this incredible growing adventure because we're here for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not wishing we were someone else that would be better. This is it. You see, that's the amazing thing. Most of us think that this moment of now could possibly, should possibly be different than it is. But the reality of it is that this is it. This moment is our life, and what we have in this moment is all there is in this moment. That doesn't mean that somewhere down the road you might not make more money and find a person that's compatible to live with and invest your life with. But in this moment, you've got exactly what you've got, and nothing more and nothing less. And if you can be here for it as though this is it, and not in sacrifice, but to surrender to your life as it is, that's enlightenment. Thank you very much, Nancy, for allowing me to express myself this way.
That's great.
Really, I mean, I'm
we're
loving,
smiling here.
I'm loving talking with you because we're seeing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all we've been doing for the last 21 years.
But, you know, I actually think that's one of the things that happens when people stop working on themselves. Their passion for making a difference and making an impact and making the world easier for people around them comes to the foreground, and then there's a whole other possibility of excitement in life.
I think it's the excitement that people really are missing out on. No matter what they're trying to do or no matter what they seem to accomplish, they seem like they're missing out on the excitement of that emotion. You know, like if somebody accomplished something that's really good, and they go tell somebody else how great it was, and that other person may not think it's so great, that excitement that that person could have just had has now been shot right down.
Yes, that's true.
But you know what? As an intuitive person, people know what they're doing.
And they usually pick the person to shut them down so they don't have to go any further.
We've discovered that people have a pretty high tolerance for pain, but have a pretty low ceiling for having it be consistently great.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're a little bit outside their comfort zone, you know exactly who to call or who exactly to tell your great news to get you to, you know, not have to
calm
keep going.
Yeah, calm it down a little bit. Slow it down. What do you mean?
And the exciting thing about that is then, you know, you don't have to victimize yourself with other people's lack of, I don't know, excitement over what you're doing.
See, it's hard for people to become enthusiastic about what somebody else is doing when they're so disappointed by their own lives that they have given up.
And I agree. You know, I agree with that. I mean, I read tons of people. I've been doing what I do for 30 years. Talk about liking your job. I love it. Okay,
that's great.
And I have fun with it.
That is so great. You know, we met a mystic or a psychic reader years and years ago. Her name was Lil DuPont.
Okay.
And she was instrumental in our relationship being as magical as it is right now, in that she said she saw things about us that she had not seen in other people, where we had indeed found our soulmates. And
we were totally capable of ruining it.
Absolutely. We were totally capable of ruining it.
Which most people do.
Absolutely.
But you see, what most people don't realize is that there are currents in our environment. There are people in our environments that are dedicated to splitting up relationships. And, you know, they...
If you don't know that, then you just think you're awful in relationship. We were talking about that today.
Today, we went to this
local supermarket.
Right.
And Shia said, "Did you see that brunette?" And I said, "No." He said, "Boy, was she a relationship splitter." I said, "Well, of course I didn't see her then because she was working you. Tell me about her."
And I said that she just looked at me when Ariel and I were talking. She just looked at me and smiled a little bit. But it was just like a Madonna-like smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I got caught by, oh, she finds me attractive. You know, and all of a sudden, I was off to the races.
And then he starts looking for her in the
supermarket.
In the supermarket. And what was really neat was two things. He watched the mechanics of it happening without judging himself for having it. And he's comfortable enough in himself and in me to talk about it. And so I'm looking for her as we'll see if she made it outside before we left. Because she was skillful.
Very skillful. So,
but I guarantee you that type of person, if she snags a person in relationship and that person is unaware enough to follow the invitation, once she, in this case she, has the full attention of that man, the relationship's over. He's only good and useful as long as he's connected to another woman.
Or man, as the case may be, if you mm-hmm. flip it over, because there's this competitive nature with people in relationship. The only problem with being a relationship splitter is you end up splitting your own relationships.
Mm-hmm. Which is all very true. You know, which is very true. Now, we're almost out of time, but not quite, okay? I mean, I've had a lot of fun.
This has really been fun, yes.
Oh, it has. I would like for you guys to, again, give out your website and the name of your books, and then quickly tell the listeners if you're going to be out on tour any place and where you're going to be.
Okay. Our website's transformationmadeeasy.com. The three books, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life, How to Create a Magical Relationship, and Being Here. We are generally in the New York area. We do courses called Monday Night Alive. Our next weekend course is The Art of Listening, and it's actually in Hamburg, Germany, in the Freedom to Breathe. We're doing a series of things in October, and then we're back in the New York area for The Art of Listening in New York. Right now, we are mainly based out of New York, but we're available to lead courses places. Other than that, we just go where we're invited and where things are set up for us, rather than making a target of where we want to be working next.
And during the winter months when it's cold in a good part of the world, we are doing two immersion courses in transformation in Costa Rica. And that's
cool.
In January from the 10th to the 17th.
And the 17th to the 24th. But people who come to that have to attend a weekend workshop first, so everybody's clear that we all work well together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's upcoming in our world. And we hear you're coming to our, in October, it looks like you're coming to the New York area.
I just might try. You never know.
Uh-huh.
I'm supposed to be getting out and about these days, so that's a good thing.
Hmm.
You know, so that's wonderful. The other thing is I would like to thank you guys for being on, and what you have said makes a tremendous amount of sense for anybody who is out there who, one, is looking for a relationship, or two, is in a relationship. Because the fun part, whether you're in one or looking, is going to make all the difference in the world.
So true. You know, last thing I'd like to say, aside from thank you so much for having fun, it's been a lot of fun, people who go up on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, they can sign up to be on our email list. We have a podcast every week that goes out to people. We have people who write blogs. There's articles. The immersion gets easier the more you practice it.
Right. And our ideas are foreign at first because they are not the common ideas about how you get from here to there. Because you're already there.
But that's good. That's good. People need to know that. And, again, our time is up now, and I would like to thank both of you for being on. It was a lot of fun, you know.
Thank you, Nancy. We appreciate it, and we enjoyed it, too.
Well, you guys have a great, great relationship, which I know you do. And just keep spreading all that good word about fun, okay?
Thank you, man.
We will.
Thanks so much.
We will, promise.
Good. You guys take care. Have a nice time.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and, you know, get out there and have some fun. Take care. Bye now.